and now.
Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
And I'm Tawanda Henry Biti.
Yeah, and as always, you're listening to the best political podcast in the country.
Still the only one, but I think we've got some people who are trying to emulate.
Do we?
I don't know.
Okay, no, that's fine. I hope we get people trying to emulate.
Yeah, competition makes you better.
That's true, that's true.
Today we have a very special guest, special to everyone.
Yeah, we seem to be doing well on the guests. People keep coming onto the show, which is good for us, and I hope good for the listeners. Our guest, hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Please introduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Alexandra Muliswa, speaking for myself. And not on behalf of any party, organization, or institution, or any bearer of my last name.
We know you're independent at your house, Saga.
Yeah, I'm also an independent.
We should answer any questions anyone has already.
No affiliations.
Zero.
But yeah, no, today we've got an interesting show lined up. It's been a busy day for politics in Zimbabwe. The 8th of February will be remembered as one of those days where a lot actually happened.
Yeah, I think it's basically the launch of 2017, I think, politically, really. Everything else has been sort of, I don't know, quiet.
Everyone was in the playing field today.
Yeah, no. It was a very, very, very full day, so we've got a lot to talk about.
New factions have been formed.
Yeah, elders of the Jedi Council of ZimPF. But yeah, so where should we start? I think with the news that everyone, or a lot of us are very happy about, Pastor Evan got bail today at the High Court, $300 bail. With no travel, and I think he has to hand in his passport, but a lot of us are very happy about that. Some people seem to think he shouldn't have gotten bail, whereas I think he shouldn't have been in jail in the first place. So that's a win, a good decision by the courts today.
Yeah, that whole situation, I mean, I've aired my views on social media about it, that they really shouldn't have arrested him. There was no need, aside from the fact that he left this country a free man and was not a fugitive, though I've been told that there was a warrant out for his arrest.
That's the first I've heard of it, actually. I should double check.
Yeah, that's something I actually need to double check, because it's something someone mentioned, but there was no evidence to that effect. Even in court, I don't think mentioned that warrant for arrest. But anyway, they shouldn't have arrested him. Aside from the fact that he left a free man, they've also increased his political and social stock that I think had waned last year.
I don't think it had waned. He just wasn't here, and you know.
But the fact
out of mind and out of sight.
Yes, but also a lot of people were upset at the fact that that he left, and he said that he was going. He said he was going on a business trip.
And his business wasn't saving his family, guys.
No, okay, that's fair enough. But he said he's going on a business trip, and then he spent 6 months in America. And he said he was going on a business trip to South Africa, and he will be back in a few days or a few weeks or whatever it was.
Look, he made difficult choices, and I don't think anyone of us here or in this country would want to have to choose between a pregnant wife and the desires of the people. So I suppose, yeah, I can understand. No, actually, no, that's nonsense. I don't understand people who are angry at him at all.
Because
they're not owed anything by anyone, and they should go out and do something themselves.
I don't blame him for his choices. My point was just on the fact that I believe his support had waned after he left. There were a lot of people who were upset at the fact that he left. Whether they were justified for being upset or not is a different subject matter. But now, the sympathies which he had lost, he is going to regain. And the fact that he's mentioned in the press that he's contemplating a political career, you know, it's going to give him leverage. Yeah, it's going to give him some sort of leverage.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I don't know about, there was no one at the courts in the same way the last time, so I don't really think he's fully gotten back on side with a majority of Zimbabweans.
That's
but
true.
But if he's stepping into the political arena, then yeah, he should play with the big boys, and we'll see.
But on the other issue of that is that now at the magistrates' court, they put up a fence You know, it's kind of intimidating.
But
to
there
be
still able. Wasn't any...
There were people inside the court.
Yeah, in terms of level of support, fence or no fence, people can it's not really a thing.
So I mean, we'll see how that goes. But the state also just had a poor case.
They don't have a case. The state is there oppressing and depressing him. Awanagana case. Yeah. So they don't have a case at all.
Yeah. So
you can talk, Alex. Yes, it was in the High Court.
I was saying it was in the High Court.
She's passing notes like someone at school.
I don't want to just get here and start embarrassing people. It was at the High Court. Yeah.
It was at Magistrates Court on Friday, yeah. And then High Court today. Yeah. Yeah. So
speaking of the courts, you were in the Constitutional Court today.
Yes, I had the privilege of getting there early and listening to two of some of the most interesting cases so far. There was the Promise Mkhwananzi case, the constitutional challenge to President Mugabe's ability or non-ability to rule. So,
the grandpa can't rule. Yeah. It's a danger to the Constitution.
Exactly. The case was dismissed on the basis of procedural irregularities, one of them being that service was not effected on the first respondent, being the president. And instead of going to his house, they should have effected service at the government complexes.
Because he was in his capacity as...
The president.
The president.
Exactly, and not in his individual capacity.
So the lawyer slipped up.
Well, actually, Promise was a self-actor initially, from my understanding.
All right.
And then only instructed an advocate to appear in the Superior Court, the Constitutional Court. I think it was Advocate Kadziri.
Okay. So I think my understanding is that it was a political stunt in as far as they wanted to serve papers at his house to embarrass him. I'm not even sure. I think they even tried to go to the house with the blue roof, which is not... I don't even know if officially that's his residence, according to... But that's where he lives. So I think the whole serving of the papers and everything was done intentionally at his house.
Who is they that you speak of?
Tajamuka.
Oh, okay.
Well, Promise. Well, unfortunately for the theatrics, the legal procedure, regularity was lost. So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a nice drama, but then in the end, the papers weren't served to the president in his official capacity.
I'm sure they would have found any technicality to avoid having to make a judgment on that.
Probably,
well,
but
this was the one.
My thing is that if you're going to do something of this sort, and there has to be some level of seriousness.
Exactly.
Why would he do it by himself? In what capacity? Is he a lawyer?
No, he's not.
That's actually what the judges were saying. One of their comments, rather, was that if you're going to come to the Constitutional Court and you want to be serious, you really need to check, instruct an advocate, ask a friend who's an attorney, a lawyer, and find out if all of your things are up to snuff.
Look, the courts, if today doesn't show you that the courts have become a political arena, then, you know, that's essentially what it was. It's self-promotion at some level.
I hear that, but at the end of the day, you look stupid.
That's the thing. Because the merits, we didn't even get into the merits, all because the papers weren't served at the correct place.
But now we're talking, but if it's serving a political end, looking stupid in the courts and doesn't really matter because the conversation that's now running is Mugabe too old to rule? And, you know, people have their own answers, and maybe that's the conversation he was trying to drive outside of the courts.
Do you know what? I think that conversation would have been more effective if it was actually happening in the courts.
That's the thing. We didn't even get to the merits, so that conversation wasn't had at all. It stopped on the preliminary
issues.
So right now, all I'm thinking is, if that's the case, then, you know, people are going to debate it in their bedrooms and at the bar, but where people actually had the opportunity to have that conversation, you know, in the courts, which would have led to it actually coming out in the press as well. And, you know, everyone would have picked it up hear what the judges would have said.
Yeah, no, I reluctantly agree. But talking about incompetence, how about Jonso's lawyer, Jonathan Moyer's lawyers, and their own... These are some of the top lawyers in the country, isn't it? Terence Hussein, actually. Advocate Terence Hussein.
No, just Terence. He instructed Advocate Tove So what happened was, that was the second matter on the roll, Professor Jonathan Moyo's case regarding the ZACC arrest and the constitutionality of his arrest. So we didn't even get to the merits either. We stopped at the preliminary issues. It was like a preliminary court pretty much the whole day today. And that is because the instructing attorneys did not paginate the record, which is like a big no-no, basically, in the legal community, especially if you're going to a superior court like the court.
This is a constitutional court. What are the ways? Page 1, 2... Three,
so they didn't number
four.
The pages.
They didn't number the pages. And
number the pages. There's like, it's actually procedurally irregular because it's in terms of the rules that you're supposed to paginate these things. So no one could follow
anything.
You have
to put like a table of contents as
exactly,
well.
Like to make it easy to follow. Because I mean, you have to understand when you're in the courts, the judges and the advocates need to be able to follow things because there have been lots of papers and all of that stuff. So.
I refer to paragraph 63 on
exactly.
page 70. And
so now they basically would have had to been like, you know, the page
just
starting with
one.
The dog, hey, where there's the bold. Yes.
So this is a whole minister's lawyers.
Exactly.
In a whole constitutional court, a minister of this country.
Who forgot to
appointed under
an
the
intern.
Same constitution failed to such a simple, simple thing. It's
yeah.
like.
No, pretty much failed to get an intern because interns paginate. They pretty much failed to find an intern or like a messenger
and
to
it wasn't
paginate.
Bound either, was it?
No, it wasn't bound. It wasn't
stapled.
Paginated. It was pretty much just a bunch of documents.
To the constitutional court in that.
So this is my thing, is like, what is actually happening in the legal profession in this country? And the two of you are lawyers, so I get to actually ask this question in the sense that you have the state, which is had to delay Ivan Mawarire's bail hearing today because they said they didn't have electricity yesterday, so they couldn't prepare, right? But since Friday, they've known that they're likely to go into court today. So you have that with the state. Then the state also, you know, it has a poor case. It says all sorts of things. So state lawyers are...
One thing,
and they're quite bad. Then you have these advocates who don't paginate pages. You have, you know, guys who go serve papers to the wrong office or the wrong place.
Yeah.
What is actually going
this
on?
Is all in
like
one
it
day.
Sounds, yeah, it sounds
it's like a mess in the court today.
And these are the superior courts, hey? Like
the constitutional court,
yeah.
The highest court in the land.
So it sounds very trivial, but it's actually very serious that you have lawyers who are not doing the basic things. These are the basics.
I think our lawyers are politicians and the courts are sometimes the arenas.
Which is fine, but at least be good at what you're doing. This is the
thing. We could say lots of things on that point, but I mean, at the end of the day, the law, like, it's not like the judges or the courts were incorrect in what they were saying. Like, it's not like they were making things up. Of course, you can find almost any law that's convenient to what you want to do. But the papers were served at the wrong place. And the Professor Moyo's lawyers forgot to paginate or didn't paginate the record. So these are actual things.
The papers being served at the wrong place, so their lawyers were arguing that they didn't get them at all.
Well, they were just served at the wrong place. Service was not affected, so pretty much you know how that goes.
So this is my thing, is like, what, like, if you're not doing the basic things, and if aside from it being the basic things, it's procedure. So you know, like, this is how things are supposed to work.
It's not a secret. They actually rule that tell you.
Like, you know.
You know. Everyone knows.
Yeah. Like, and if you don't know, you can actually open, like,
and
high court
up.
Rules.
And
or,
look it up.
You
so,
know.
So this is, as in, you actually know that this is what we are supposed to do.
Yeah.
And you don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in the instructions, and it says put your name at the top and your candidate number and all those things. And then you decide, I'm not going to
do that.
I'm just going to
and
go
then you complain
answer.
Why you failed.
And then
exactly.
Your paper's not marked and you try complain.
And they're kind of like, who are you? You didn't put
like
your
name at the top.
Exactly.
No, I think it's, I don't know, maybe Alex will disagree, but generally you see a trend in anything and everything, a trend towards mediocrity and everything that's going on in this country. So the courts are, the banks, everyone is affected by the situation in the country. People are just not doing their jobs properly in any office. And I don't know, maybe I'm extrapolating too much on it, but you would expect the legal profession, amongst other professions like doctors, bankers, accountants, to be the top and the most professional in the whole country, and clearly they're not. So there's something wrong, and I think this is just a symptom of everything else that's going on.
I agree, and it's just a lot of people like to blame our government for a lot of things, but I don't think in this instance I'm going to blame anyone, even the courts. Some people are complaining that the courts have become, you know, all about technicalities and that sort of thing. But this is the way things are supposed to work. And
that they've been working. These rules aren't like recent, eh?
Yeah, they didn't just make them up overnight.
There's this lack of professionalism, and I don't know where it's come from. I mean, Terence Hussein is...
He's the
president's lawyer at some point, indeed. He's one of the top lawyers in this country.
I'd like to think so.
That's a general feeling.
Based on his clientele. But you forget to, or you don't paginate, like...
Or you're hiring people that are forgetting to paginate things. For a case against the Anti-Corruption Commission of the country, and a minister in one of the highest ministries in the country, and you have someone doing such a shoddy job.
But the irony of that is that so the judge was asking why or how the papers, the record even got to the court in the first place. And the advocate was Advocate Hove, who was instructed, says that the attorney said the registrar said it would be okay. So there's this like sort of implied corruption thing that happened against the Anti-Corruption Commission. And he's like, so the registrar said it.
That's ridiculous. Okay. And the judge is meant to take this on.
No, he was livid. He was like, what do you mean?
Was this DCJ Malava?
Yes. He was really angry. He was like, who's the registrar? I don't understand what you're saying to me.
So he was arguing, go to the register, said it was okay.
Yeah, and he was like, but you're a lawyer, you read the rules. Like,
so
what do you mean the
register supersedes
said?
The rules?
Yeah, and he was like, how can you come to the Concord and start talking about the register said? Like,
Advocate Owe, I'm not going to say anything libelous, but yeah, you know. We know you, Advocate
Owe. It was actually a bit of a joke.
I know, I suppose people are just playing Mahumbwe with our lives.
Really, actually, it seems that no one is actually serious about what they're trying to do in this country.
Talking about Mahumbwe,
a joke.
I don't know. Talking about Mahumbwe, how about Zimbabwe People's First?
More Mahumbwe happening that side. More games and politics and.
It's not politics anymore.
it's personal agendas. It's personal agendas. Everyone seems to have a personal agenda. On that issue. Joyce,
a quick recap. Today was action packed and action filled at the Zimbabwe People's First headquarters with Comrade. She's still Comrade. Joyce Teurai Rupa Mujuru, expelling a few key members who are now referring to themselves as elders of a party, including
Rugare Gumbo, Didmas Mutasa, Margaret Dongo, Kudakwashe Basketi
of the wrong basket,
Lakson Kandemire, Munacho Mtezo, and Claudius Makova.
All right. I thought, Makova, didn't Makova resign after the Bikita West debacle?
No, there was supposed to reshuffle. He didn't resign, but he was summoned to be reshuffled because it was blamed on him that they lost Bikita West.
Oh, yeah. He was
head of Mashingo, so they said that you were supposed to organize and... all sorts of things. But yeah, so they've been thrown out, and she says that the reason is that
stalling democratic processes. That's one of the direct quotes. The group has been accused of stalling democratic processes in the party.
Yeah, stalled democratic processes, and they have been accused of being agents of the regime, who have used all sorts of tricks ranging from coup d'etat and sophisticated infiltration, have taken center stage with the view of delaying the people's cause of unequivocal liberation.
That sounds like a whole lot of nothing. There's no actual charge there, is there?
Nope.
I don't know. From a legal perspective, Alex, what was actually said?
Nothing.
Like, what is the actual accusation?
Nothing.
Stalling democratic processes, how? Yeah.
She just means she's not happy with what's going on.
What coup happened here?
So the rumor is that these elders... the so-called elders that they have labeled themselves wanted to kick her out.
Yeah.
And she kicked them out before they kicked her out. Because she's the interim president. They haven't had a congress. They haven't elected anyone to the post. They've sort of just made a makeshift system, you know.
Mawumbwe, as you say.
Until they go to a congress. They're supposed to go sometime this year, I'm not sure when, and elect
a substantive leader.
So what she's done might actually be unconstitutional.
Do they have a constitution?
They have a draft constitution.
So how can something be unconstitutional to a draft constitution?
So this is the thing, but you must have some rules that you have set down and said, guys, when we are forming this thing,
Mujuru is president.
Yeah, but with what sort of powers? Because this, what she's done is what was done to her.
Exactly.
I was about to say exactly the same thing. What do you expect from an ex-ZANU-PF cadre? They're going to behave that same way.
So my issue then becomes, you know, what happens? First, what happens next? And secondly, why has she gone this route? Because she's clearly alienating some of her support within ZANU-PF. Who is she left with?
Who is she left with?
No one. She's left with jealousy. The spokesperson. Is probably the biggest name. Jealousy from the infamous court case 2013 that forced elections upon us when Zim wasn't ready.
Okay.
He's the one that ran to the courts to compel President Mugabe to declare a date for elections.
Okay. To set a date.
Anga Tumwane is ZANU-PF now, look where he is.
So Jealousy Mawarire
was
Ray Kaukonde, I'm not sure.
Was
about.
Ray Kaukonde a member? Or was he actually ever come out and said,
I don't know.
I know he was affiliated, but you know, even for someone like Mutezo, this is the first time I actually heard he was a member.
Mutezo was actually expelled from ZANU-PF 5 months ago.
So when did he become an elder of when did he become an elder of ZANU-PF? In fact, I remember being at a wedding with Mutezo saying, I just got expelled. This was quite recently, actually.
Yeah, so I don't know what's happening with Mutezo. So you have Ray Kaukonde,
who apparently was the reason of all this rifts, yes, as well, on one side.
Because apparently the elders want Kaukonde
as president.
You have Sylvester Nguni.
Yeah, who's always been very close to
Manjuru, yeah. So.
Dr. Teurai.
Have some respect.
She's my homie, man. No, seriously, okay, yeah. So Dr. Joyce.
So there's Sylvester Nguni, assumedly, I'm not sure.
That's it. Who else?
Yeah, that should be it.
But, I mean, and then this elders council came back, clapped back immediately with their own press conference.
Yes, they did.
In which they accused her what?
Being emotional and irrational.
Which is an outright sexist statement.
Yeah, well.
Obviously, because she's a woman, now she must be emotional.
But was it not irrational?
But emotional. How was it emotional?
No. But it could, listen. It could be.
Are you really wanting to defend this?
No. I'm not defending.
I'm just asking, are you really, of all the things you want to argue?
No. I don't want to put it in that manner, but we don't know what's going on behind
the
scenes. We actually don't know what's going on, because according to this statement, they were supposed to meet. She told them that she was at trauma center and they were going to meet at the party headquarters after.
Yeah.
But then she then makes this statement from her house.
From her house.
And she expels them. They say that this is not procedural because this is not what they had agreed upon. So,
but agreed like what? Because they have a draft constitution, so they're going to bring like some oral contract or something.
Look, you know, the thing is that the quote is, needless to say, this is not in line with the draft ZANU-PF constitutions and the values of the party. And while we can argue about the constitution, surely when you sit down and agree, there's at least some value statement and values document that they would have had. And one of those main values is like, guys, Tavakune dictator. We can't come and be hanging out with another dictator immediately.
And also, another issue is that you are at a system where when you are forming a party, even if it's a draft constitution, you should have some form of constitution. When you're registering a party or a trust, shouldn't you have some sort of constitution?
What is that? There is no honor amongst what?
There's no honor amongst
who was it there? I don't know. I mean, listen, from legally, I don't know how they're going to talk about a draft constitution. I mean, I think we can just talk about how it's a bad feeling and it's not nice and use fancy words for this is not what we talked about. But why didn't they make that constitution a living, working constitution? Why was it still a draft up until this point?
But my argument then becomes, are they a real party then?
No, clearly not.
Because if you don't have a constitution, clearly then not. What actually...
What constitutes
you as a party?
Exactly.
So how did they run in Bikita if they are not a...
I think they... I don't know. I would have to check, to be honest. I don't know what it takes for a political party to be registered. I'm not too sure what you need. But I don't think it's as stringent as opening a company because everyone's
opening a political party. But I mean, wasn't this the same thing that happened with the manifesto with the same party?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good call.
So this is a general, just trend. General behavior.
So Joyce does things in her house and then
it
tells us about it.
So it wasn't, that manifesto wasn't a manifesto. It was a...
It wasn't meant to be taken to the people as well. What was it?
I think it was like an acronym. Mostly.
It was built.
Yeah,
it was built.
That's why they called themselves Wahagi.
So they had this manifesto, it's called Build.
That's what the values that they're talking about. Because maybe if it was adopted at the beginning of the party, that's at least their constitution document, is that those are the values that they want. Perhaps. I mean, anyway.
We'll definitely try get someone from ZIMPF to explain it.
If there's a ZIMPF left in next week.
Which faction of ZIMPF?
there's factions now. There's the Zim people first. Now there's people
Zim
second.
Zim people first, Mujuru. Then there's what?
Zim people first, elders.
Elders. And then there's...
Yes, I don't know what's happening. But interestingly enough, I have an insider. Who's sort of given me, a little information. There'll be another press conference happening tomorrow. So by the time this podcast's out,
everything will be out.
But with the youth and the women, and they are taking a stance and picking a side. I don't think they're going to pick the Mujuru side.
I don't think that they should pick any of those old people's side because honestly, where does Didymus Mutasa fit into a new Zimbabwe?
But do you know what it was? Vana Didymus was said not to all have positions in this thing going forward. They were going to be elders, which is why they are the elders. So they are going to be the guys sitting,
drinking tea and directing the youths.
Exactly. And
so if that still is the...
Going to rallies and because they are assumed...
Like symbols, really.
Yeah, they're assumed to have constituents or people that they can, rally up.
Yeah.
And people who followed them at some point. So even if you're new in politics, you're obviously going to... Look for someone to endorse you. And that's basically what I think they were going to be. Is they were going to be the people in the background who are going to endorse whoever is out
there. So, and the speculation that those elders, the ones expelled, were anti-coalition with Tsvangirai. That's what a lot of the tweets are saying, is that one of the major causes of the rift was that Dr. Joyce Mujuru was quite ready to form a grand coalition with Tsvangirai as soon as possible, but the elders were a bit more reluctant. Yeah. And even if that's not the case, with this party now in disarray, is there any incentive for Tsvangirai or any of the other parties to join with ZIMPF, for a coalition? Because if there's this much disarray in the house, all that can do is spread chaos everywhere else.
After Bikita West, I think it was done for Joyce. I think there was... She has no clout. She can go to this coalition meeting and say, I want to be this, and they'll say, okay, you and what army?
Yeah, basically. And the thing is, even you're talking about the elders endorsing her, they're some of the most despised people when they were in ZANU-PF. Kuti, I don't think that if it wasn't for intimidation and things like that, a lot of those guys wouldn't have won their own seats. In fact, some of them did lose their seats while still in ZANU.
You see, so it's quite an issue in terms of what was she bringing to the table of this coalition, which is why I have a theory, which I alluded to on my social media pages.
And fake news. Chris is about to get to watch out for the fake news.
It's not fake news. So basically, it's Joyce Mujuru has no clout, right? She doesn't have war veterans or a faction of the war veterans. Because the war veterans, the factions are
Mutsangwa
and Mandichimene.
Yeah.
Right? Let's put those two as the factions.
But they're both still within
ZANU-PF, right? Even though Mutsangwa was expelled or whatever it was. So she doesn't have the support of the war veterans. She has a few people she had left ZANU-PF with at the time, but after Bikita West...
She had left with... cute.
She left with a little cute
crew. She left.
She was expelled.
She was expelled with some, you know, some cadres, but, you know, they took a while to set up. They went into this election.
The whole year almost.
And yeah, they went into this election and they were thumped. So, and now she's expelled 7 of them, and she said more heads would roll, whatever that means.
She's no one.
You see, so she doesn't have support. So she doesn't have war veterans, she doesn't have ZANU-PF, she doesn't have
youth that we can talk of.
Yeah, there's no one there that I could actually, you know, pinpoint. Women.
No, and Margaret Dongo was head of women's, wasn't she?
Yes.
So
you know, no more, you know.
Who fires 7 people at the same time on executive order with no disciplinary type?
I think we know who.
You know, that emotional thing is sounding fair. Yeah.
It's almost like, hey, Garabi, we're sick.
Yes, this has happened before. This has really happened
the
before.
The apple does not fall far from the tree. Anyway, so you have this, you know, situation where she doesn't have that support. She's going to Tsvangirai, she's sitting down with him. And why we keep saying Tsvangirai is because he's the biggest opposition leader in the country. And says, I want to be president of the coalition, and he's going to say, like I said, you and Wadame. So what are our options now? What I said in my speculative tweet and post on Facebook was Joyce Mujuru seems to be rebranding ZANU-PF. She's kicked out these 7 people. I wonder when she's going to sit down with Ivan Mawari, because if I were her and looking at my options, he has a following. I do not have a following. He has some interest in the public. Right now, especially after people have been kicked out, I need something on my side. Something I need someone electric on my side that will, when I go to this coalition meeting or whatever it is, give me some sort of clout.
Yeah. What I was criticizing about your tweet is that it casts aspersions where there's no... You're muddying the waters for people that have not made up their mind about Ivan at all. Because we know that a lot of people are quite anti-Dr. Joyce Mujuru. They don't like her at all as a politician. So what I was saying, the point I was saying to the people out there is that if you say, no, Ivan might go to ZANU-PF, or he might go to MDC, or he might go to ZANU-PF even, or he might run as an independent... You know, you're then feeding into this narrative of him being a ruthless politician or someone up for sale or things like that, because there really is no basis for your speculation.
There isn't, but I wasn't speaking about Ivan going there. I was saying, when is she going to reach out to him?
But it's more damaging on his part. As far as why would she? You've explained the reasoning, but why would she? Why do you think that would be her best choice, her first choice? Would it not be, especially for someone who's already an existing politician, someone with a proven constituency, why wouldn't she go to Walsh Mncube or to Tendai Biti or to Mr. Dabengwa before she went to Evan? Because those people, no matter what you say, have a bigger and a larger proven constituency in the political sphere.
Fair enough. But what I'm saying is those people are also, I think, looking to... They are leaders of their own political parties and that sort of thing, right?
So
what does she have to offer them?
She doesn't have anything to offer them. But,
exactly.
But if she wanted to have any bargaining power, you and what army, she would have gone to a coalition with the smaller parties before she had even approached Tsvangirai.
Yeah.
So there's a much better argument to argue for her. Oh, no, the first thing she should do is talk to Mwashman, talk to BT, talk to these guys who signed code, and then say, me, I want to then, from you guys, we want to then go there. You can't go to someone who is a political infant, a fetus, before you've passed all these people, especially just using your own reasoning. Because she's looking for an army. So why would you go to Evan, who doesn't have an army?
It's
what people with likes and tweets and retweets. But Welshman, Blueo is one. He's put people into parliament. He's put people into senate.
Let me ask
BT
you a question.
He's put people into parliament. He's put people into senate. Dabengo has put people into parliament. He's put people into senate. So I'm just asking, why did you go to Evans first?
Right. Why is because when was anyone talking about Dabengo or BT or Welshman in the past year? What conversations have happened about those individuals
during the coalition? Coalition conversations have happened.
I hear you, but what I'm saying is, publicly, in the eyes of the public, who has the biggest platform right now? Who has the biggest spotlight on them?
In terms of the media, yes. Certainly, Evan has a bigger spotlight, but I guarantee you, Kumushad in Matabele, Nube is a much better known name.
Yeah, fair enough.
I guarantee you, right now, you can go to any constituency in the country and talk about Tindai BT, but you can't talk about Pastor Evan.
Right, but listen here.
Or you can talk about Tumiso Dabengo, but you can't talk about Pastor Evan. So I don't see. She will gain a certain constituency, which is an urban base. Yes, I'll give you that. But if you're saying that she really wants an army, why won't she go to
Listen, what does it do for her political stock and her political image if she manages to get him on her side? I think it does wonders for her political image, especially after what's happened here. So Joyce Mujuru, one of the things is she's been tainted by the fact that she was ZANU-PF, right?
Mm.
Imagine she now gets this guy, Pastor Evan, who's been campaigning against what's going on in this country, who's been arrested, he's been a victim of the injustice that has happened, and then he comes and he says, I am endorsing Joyce Mujuru.
It's like
what does that do? It rebrands her.
Yeah.
She's gone from that person.
She has a plan that she's really going to do.
Listen, like I said, I speculated. I'm not saying it's what she's going to do.
I can follow your
it's
reasoning.
It's quite logical.
It would actually pass a very strong message because what she's essentially saying is out with the old, in with the new, if she manages to get him on her side.
We can't argue.
But it's speculating,
of course. We can't go against the fact that Welshmen, all these guys, they've won in constituencies, and yes, they can do that. But at the end of the day, when it comes to going for the man at the top, all of these guys
have tried and failed.
They've come from MDC at one point. MDC actually was there, and it tried and it failed.
Chris,
so at the end of the day, she needs to rebrand her image.
Rebranding her image and getting an army are two different things.
Evan
will rebrand her image. Yes, I agree.
Yes.
But she's not going to give her any more bargaining power at a coalition table, because what Tsvangirai will say, what numbers do you have?
Okay.
It doesn't matter if you've got Gandhi or Jesus on your side. If you've got no numbers, no proven numbers, rebrand your image that you will say to everywhere.
But
Ajna Basa.
No, I hear you. I hear you in terms of the numbers, right? But at the end of the day, no one aside from Tsvangirai actually has numbers that they are taking into this.
But number
thing.
You when you're
quantifiable
negotiating
numbers.
When you're negotiating, you can say good no Mutasaka Muinachi Kumanikaland. So I'm not gonna utusumri the Manikaland. Reika Okonde is from Toko. I'm not gonna utusumri the Ramtoko. What can Evan Sumuze in this country?
Yes, right. But the thing is,
besides Twitter,
that's what it's going to be, and that's what they're going
and
to
do. And it'll rebrand her, yes, but she still needs grafters. She still needs people on the ground.
But do you know what happens then, right? Is once you've rebranded yourself, you can start going out and looking for new people. Because this is what she's going to have to do. It's what she's going to have to do. She can't go back to Anna Didmas and say, Kumanikaland, Ndrukwarusape, Ndrukutsagani, Oenda Kunaka Okonde. She can't, because those people are gone. So right now what she's looking for is to rebrand, to gain this new army, so that by the time it comes to going to this coalition, she can stand up and say, this is the army. And that's the logical. That's what I'm thinking.
It's not the logical thing to do.
It's a thing to do.
But it's not the logical thing.
It's illogical.
It's a logical, but not the logical. It's one of an option.
And
I don't think that she's...
But what I was saying is, I'm not trying to muddy Evan Mawali.
That's why I was attacked. Because it seems like...
I'm not trying to muddy his reputation or what he is. But I'm looking at it from the sense that if I am looking for somebody to influence, or for somebody to endorse
to,
me.
To change my image.
Yes,
yes,
that's the
work.
That's
yeah,
the person that I'm going for. That's the point I was basically trying to make.
That would work. What I was saying, and I don't know if, without looking at what happens with fake news and news cycles these days, is if I throw enough things, which no, you know, for example, Kuti, you know, Chris might be a Manchester United supporter, or he might be an Arsenal supporter, or he might be whatever. At the end of the day, people say, hey, I don't know what team Chris supports, but he definitely supports football. In the same way, if someone says, oh, Pastor Evan is working with Joyce, or she might be working with Zanu, or she might be working with Lacoste, or she might be working with Eva, then people are going to say, I don't know what's actually true, but he's definitely not his own person, and he's definitely a plant, or he's being sent.
But you know what? Ever since he gave that Daily Maverick interview, where he alluded to joining politics, this is something that is going to happen.
No, definitely. He just needs to make his choice, because they're all doing, even Patson, Dr. Zamara is also doing the same thing. They're playing with, they must just announce openly when they want
to
go.
Yeah, so the thing is, it's the fact that he's already, you know, said this whole
maybe he wants to start a bidding war. I think they're trying to start bidding wars.
Whichever they're going for, right, is you're going to have a lot of this speculation about your political position.
Once
you
say something like that. Yeah.
Until you actually, once you say something.
You pick a side, people will pick a side for you.
Exactly.
So, but you were picking a side for him.
No, I wasn't.
No, people generally do that.
I wasn't picking a side for him.
I honestly
think that he has, you know, the lay of the land. He can remain an independent and go for it as an independent, and at the last minute try to jump on whoever's ticket.
On the, I think if there's a coalition led by Tsvangirai with maybe Joyce, Dr. Joyce Mujuru at some position, you know, Home Affairs or something, if they did that, I'm sure that a lot of these activists would end up under the fold of that type of coalition. But they also don't have any bargaining power, because they're not part of any existing structures at the moment.
And a lot of the activists have said that they are apolitical and they are citizens.
They're liars.
They're liars.
All of them are liars. One of them was...
people got that word from.
Apolitical.
Yeah, people should stop.
There's politics in church groups. That's why pastors end up being politicians.
I don't think you can be apolitical.
Especially when you're talking politics.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's quite true. You can't... Once you are against a political party or a political institution,
you are political. Exactly.
You've taken a political side. But yeah... it's interesting to see what will happen. Today was a big day. Interesting to see what Pastor Ivan will do next.
Yeah.
Now that he's out. A free man. Until his court.
It's on the 17th.
17th of
February.
Yeah. So from then on, we'll see what actually happens next and what happens in his political life.
His political life, yes. He's no longer an activist.
Yeah, no, I'm done.
He's an activist. He's a politician.
He's a politician now.
But we've got a good history of fathers, pastors. I think Muzoreru Sitole.
I want to have this conversation. There are certain people I think would not make great leaders or good leaders. On my list, the top three is military men, clergymen, and teachers.
Teachers. Teachers end up dictators.
And it's for the simple reason that, okay, military men take orders. Clergymen, pastors have a God complex. A lot of them have it's an image thing.
Yeah.
Because you have to be
to make yourself in the image of God.
You have to be very charismatic to have a flock.
Yeah.
And a lot of them personalize their flock. We can name lots of
and then there's that divine right thing where they think that they were sent. So you can't tell them anything.
It's a calling, right?
You can't tell them anything.
And then teachers are dictatorial by nature.
Yeah, like, definitely. You're standing in front of a classroom and you're telling people what to do.
So those three I don't think make
good leaders.
I would add poor people. No, honestly, because when you're desperate, when you get what you wanted and you're like, do I really care about, like, you know, people's rights? Do I really care in the end? Desperate people generally don't make good leaders. Honestly, poor people's one category of desperate people. Okay, it's time. Okay.
and on that bombshell, thank you very much for joining us, Alex. Where can people find you online?
Nowhere.
You're not online?
She's not online.
No, I'm not online.
Oh, okay, she's cool. If you're looking for me, at Chris Charamba's the handle, for Politics and Beyond. It's at Politics and Beyond on Facebook, and it's Beyond Poly ZW
Beyond Poly ZW as well.
Oh, on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. On Facebook?
On Facebook. Yeah. That's the web address now.
Okay, cool.
And I'm Henry BT on, at Henry BT on Instagram, on Twitter, and Facebook.
Yeah, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263.
Free to say it.
Free to do it.
Thank you, Alex, for being on. Bye.
And now. Capital 263.